Welcome to the podcast of Scott Street MB Church. We hope you find this message inspiring and encouraging in your walk as a disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, greetings from British Columbia. My son Micah has traveled with me. I actually grew up in the Kitchener-Waterloo area many moons ago. And so Micah's come along. We have six kids. And so for Mike and I, this is now a getaway. And so Mike is going to have time with his grandparents over the course of the next few days while I get to walk, ride shotgun with Robin and Philip. So you'll see a picture up on the screen in just a second there. If you have ever been to the lower mainland of British Columbia, our family moved there in 2010. We were serving the Lord. I was pastoring a church in Huron County here in Ontario. God called us to BC. And so I'm pastoring a church in Surrey, very multicultural city if you've ever been there. High East Indian population, one of the largest Sikh populations outside of the Punjab, and many diverse cultures. And so every summer, there's a festival called the Fusion Festival, which brings together, and basically in one of the large parks in our city, there are different booths that are set up from every nation that lives in the city. It's really quite a fascinating, and it's a lot of fun to go to the Fusion Festival. There will be and every country has two booths. One booth is the, kind of different cultural elements of their nation, and you can buy some of the souvenirs and, you know, gadgets and clothing of that country. And the other booth is their food, which is, like, that's awesome. So you get to have, like, you can never quite eat enough, and it's really this wonderful experience. Well, one of the ladies from our congregation was the leader of the Canada booth, and so every nation's there, including Canada, which gets a booth. Which, ironically, in some ways was very boring because it was just a representation of the Canadian government, because it was just like our governmental stuff. But this lady from our church was leading and trying to bring some different elements into it. And so she said to me, when you come to the Fusion Festival this year, I want to introduce you to a bunch of people. Okay, fine. So we get there, and I happen to have been on holidays that week. It was the second week of July, third week of July or something. Beautiful, warm day, and we had taken a couple weeks of family holidays. And so we showed up at the Fusion Festival in complete summer holiday garb. I was wearing actually some grubby shorts, an old baseball hat, a t-shirt that I think I had been painting in at some point. Like, it was not a well-planned thing on the part of the Wagler family. And so we got to this, we're walking along, walking around, and this lady from our church who's leading the Canada booth says, oh yeah, hey, yeah, you come with me, I want to introduce you to somebody. So, okay, fine. So we leave the family. My daughter, who's now 14, she would have been maybe 11 or so at the time, she came with me. I thought, okay, this is going to take about 5 minutes. And she leads me over to this place, and then we get in behind this gate, and I realize that we're going somewhere else. Because we had to go through a little security checkpoint. So we get into this little back area, which is all fenced off, and I'm starting to think, this is going to take more than 5 minutes. And so now I'm standing there in my grubby shorts and t-shirt and my grubby Blue Jays baseball hat, trying to have my summer holiday day with my family, and I'm surrounded by the dignitaries of the Fusion Festival because the opening ceremonies were about to start. And we were in the back area that was going to lead out to the stage where the dignitaries would make their presentations to the crowd that was gathered. So I'm there, I'm thinking, okay, I'm just here to meet some people that this lady from our church wants me to meet. And so I meet the mayor of Surrey, and I meet the consular general of Ukraine, and the consular general of China, and I'm like in my grubbies, like I'm really dressed for the event. And I'm thinking, Lord, why do you have me in this place? I don't really want to be here, to be totally honest. I kind of want to be over there with my family. And then this little thing begins to go, okay, everybody gather around. We're going to walk up there. And I'm like, what is going on here? And we start to walk up these stairs. And she's like, no, just come along. So I walk along with my daughter, who's 11, and we get up onto the platform, and we're standing in front of the whole city of Surrey in the dignitary line. And I'm in the back row holding my daughter's hand in my grubby shorts. and my grubby Blue Jays baseball hat thinking, I am in the wrong parade. I'm in the wrong parade. I should not be in this place. And there's these speeches by the consular generals and the dignitaries and this mayor of the city of Surrey. And then I think, okay, we had been kind of hiding behind. We were in the second row thinking, okay, now we'll be okay. And then they're like, okay, now there's going to be a parade. And all the dignitaries, led by their flags, march off the stage down into the crowd. And the crowd parts like the Red Sea in front of us, and we are in the parade, walking through the crowd with the flags leading the way. Somehow we're representing Canada. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do it. And we're walking down through the middle of all these people who are like, they think they should be clapping or something. I don't know, who are these people? And I'm standing there in my grubby shorts and my grubby Blue Jays baseball hat, holding my daughter's hand, thinking, what am I doing in this place? What am I doing in this place? So, like, we literally walked, I bet, a kilometer and a half, winding our way through all these Fusion Festival booths, and we end up in this back spot again, which is the VIP area. Now, this is where all of a sudden I start thinking to myself, I think Michelle, the lady from our church, had an idea for me that I was not aware of. Because we end up in the backspace of this VIP place where they're now giving out the food to everybody, all these dignitaries. And I'm able to sit down across the table from a mayor, a consular general, different people. And they say, hey, oh yeah, who are you? Where are you from? Well, I'm just Phil from that, from here. And we start asking questions about each other's lives, and all of a sudden, oh yeah, we've just gone through a divorce. You're a pastor? Yeah. And all of a sudden, I'm having these deep, meaningful conversations. And what I thought was to be in the wrong place because of my grubbies became a place of the intersection of people's lives and an opportunity for the kingdom. So sometimes we find ourselves in the parade of life, and it's a little unclear what God's doing. But don't worry, he's up to something. What has to adjust is actually the paradigm and the way in which we think about the place God has us. Are you following? So I don't know what parade you're in, but I bet you've found yourself in a place where you go, what am I doing here? What is the purpose of this job? What is the purpose of being in this class? What is the purpose of having lived in this neighborhood? What is the purpose of our church? What is this all about? This is what we're going to talk about this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This idea of living your kingdom assignment. Because sometimes we actually miss the assignment God's given to us because we haven't thought through the lens of the kingdom of God. We've only thought through the lens of the little kingdom we've been building. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, is this very interesting verse because there's all kinds of scriptures that would actually say boasting isn't a good thing. I grew up Mennonite enough to know that you never boast, right? You walk with humility, and like in the community that I grew up in, it was very much you weren't proud about anything, which just turned into reverse pride, right? Because actually, you robbed God's glory when God was doing something, and somebody said, "Wow, that was pretty amazing what God did through you," and you go, "Oh no, it was nothing." What are you actually saying? You're saying actually God is nothing. Right? Actually, we give glory to God that he would choose to use people like you and I, right? That's the perspective with which we should live. Because then we come, when we think about through the lens of this verse, verse 13, but we will not boast beyond limits, says Paul, but will boast only with regard to the area of influence. Some of your translations will say the area of service that God has assigned to us to reach even to you. Now, Paul, of course, was the leader of the group of people who started the church in Corinth. And this is now his second letter to them. And he's had a little bit of trouble with them. They haven't been the easiest people on the planet to lead. Okay? He's had a bit of trouble. Corinth was no easy town. And so he's going, we're not going to boast beyond limits, but I am going to boast. And the word there actually means I am going to live with my head held high. I'm going to live with my head held high, but only in regard to the area of influence that God has assigned to us. What is the area of influence that God has marked out for you in your life? Have you ever considered that? What is the little spot, the little meter, the little hectare, the little acre, if you're still not in the metric system? What is the area of influence that God has assigned to you? And if you're living by the power of the Holy Spirit, as a representative and an ambassador of the King of Kings, you ought to boast about what he wants to do through you in that area of influence. Because he's assigned it to you. You didn't make it up. He assigned it to you. But then you might say, and in your mind, you're probably bartering with me right now. You're saying, hold the phone, because I didn't really choose. You know, I feel like I just kind of backed into this thing. We didn't choose through some grand way the neighborhood we were going to live in necessarily, or that job. I just needed the money. Or that school, that's just the school that we send our kids to because it's where we live. But what would happen in our lives if, for our churches and our lives as individuals, our families, we would begin to realize that there is an area of influence that God has assigned to us. He's actually measured it for you, placed you, that the life of Jesus may grow in you and pour out of you into the world so that his glory may fill the universe. Take a look at these two pictures. The one on the left there, I don't know if you can see it very well, but if you look at the mural on the wall in yellow and white, I don't know if any of you can read the words there. Any of you can... Are there any here who can read Russian? There is, somebody's getting pointed out. I thought we might have a shot at this. But on the wall is, above that girl holding a little bird on her finger, are the words from the Beatles song, All You Need Is Love. All you need is love. Now, this mural is on a wall in the city of Zaporozhye, Ukraine. Ukraine is a country at war still. Like today, there's bombs flying in the eastern part of the country. We don't hear about it anymore because we're on to what other things Trump has tweeted. But it's real and it's happening. And on this mural in the city of Zaporozhye, and it's very fascinating because this building looks kind of obscure, and you'd have trouble seeing it. But when you're in the western part of the city, you look to the east, and this building is elevated above everything because it rises up, and you see this great big yellow billboard that says, "All you need is love." Now, what's the city crying out for? What's the nation crying out for? A different reality, a different hope, a different people. The other thing that's fascinating is that this mural is directly across the road from the mother church of the new Association of Mennonite Brethren Churches in Ukraine. It's right across the road from the space that they rent, and a few hours ago they gathered for worship and walked out of their building and looked directly at that mural. And this small group of people in Ukraine, they are small. So, of course, if you know any of the, many of you will, of course, know some of the Mennonite Brethren history. The Mennonite Brethren churches in North America are the fruit and seed of what emerged out of the Ukraine in the late 1800s and early 1900s. But in the last 10 years, there's been a renewal of Mennonite Brethren churches there, not connected in any way by heritage or family lineage to the Mennonite Brethren of the past, but a new work of the Holy Spirit, begun by MB Mission missionaries and some others who went and began to start churches there after the Soviet Union fell apart. And New Hope Church, which is directly across the road from that mural, is one of six churches plus four church plants in the Ukraine that are called the Association of Mennonite Brethren Churches. They have a grand total membership among all their churches of about 250 people. Every week, this church, who meets across the road from this mural, drives humanitarian aid into the war zone every week, taking food and clothes into the place where there's conflict and people continue to die. As a result of that, there's a church plant in the city of Avdiivka, which is the new border town in Ukraine in the eastern side of the country, where the bombs fly every day. All you need is love and to live within the area of influence God has assigned to you. Now, we hear that story here, and that's where? That's over there. But for them, where is it? It's there. For them, it's home. It's the area of influence God has assigned to them. The picture on the right, shout out a couple thoughts of where you think that might be. What do you think? Looks like a prison somewhere, doesn't it? That's my city. That's Surrey. That's a back alley in Surrey, British Columbia. It's the back door of a refugee and immigrant welcome center that some of our workers are a part of, serving, loving Syrian refugees and others who've come into our city. And this back door of the center, which you're looking at, is designed as the place where those who are people of peace, Muslim friends, who begin to become open to the person of Jesus, can come, be discipled, and through which they can come and go as house church planters in Surrey, in the area of influence God has assigned to them. So what is the area of influence that God has assigned to you? Kind of convoluted mission geography on this next slide that you'll see here. And I want to explain this to you because this is where it gets a little complicated sometimes, because we try to think of what it might be God has in mind for us, and we usually think it's something other than what we already are doing. And we often think that it's something somewhere else than where we already are. But we have been given an area of influence assigned to us by the creator of the universe. A sovereign God knows you, knows who you are, knows your gifts and your call, what he's developing in you by the work of the Holy Spirit, and he has given you an area of assignment. And this is a way of thinking about that that I hope becomes encouraging for you individually and as a church today. So, if you think of this, there are a number of places where you already have some type of heart or location, a mission geography that God has given to you. The very first is you. The very first place of the mission of God is you. The work of the Holy Spirit in you is meant to transform your life, the stories of your past, the pain, the successes, everything to transform you with the character of Jesus. That is what discipleship is all about. Becoming more and more like Jesus. Discipleship equals Christ-likeness. So the very first place of living out your assignment is you. How diligent and careful are you in the geography of your soul? How careful and diligent are you in the very beginning of this year to take care of the mission geography of you? Oh Lord, I want to make a difference for you. Guess where he'll start? He will start with you. He'll start with your heart. He'll start with your anger issues. He'll start with your financial issues. He'll start with your jealousy, your pride, your lust, your da-da-da-da-da-da-da. He'll start there, and he goes, if you're serious, then let's get serious. And the Holy Spirit in you will start going, let's grow here, and let's grow here. And you've got to participate in that, because that's the first area of assignment God's given you. Secondly, he's planted you on a terrestrial ball, which we sang about, thanks to Paul and the team. We sang about this terrestrial ball. God has placed us within a most unique planet in the solar systems. The only place that sustains life. We've been given an assignment from Genesis chapter 1 to have dominion and to rule and to care and steward for the creation. This is what has been granted to us as human beings made in the image of God. This creation is your next place of assignment. The third place that he's given you an assignment is a household. In Greek, it would be the word oikos, which is can include your nuclear family, like mom, dad, and the kids. But it actually includes those who you have responsibility and care for. Okay? So who is your household? God has given you a mission assignment right there. How are you doing there? Dads, how are you doing? We taken any time to develop that place of assignment in the ways of Jesus, or has it been all about what happened to the Leafs last night or what happened in Buffalo at a gold medal game the night before? Your household is your mission assignment. You don't have to go anywhere else to find one. He's put you in one. Doesn't matter if you're married or single. Doesn't matter if you're divorced or you've lost your spouse. There's a household of people that are dear to you and you have responsibility for. Those are your assignment. The fourth place there is the fellowship. Your church. Your church family. Your fellowship is a place God has given you an assignment for. Now, in the sad part of the way North American culture and North American church culture works is we flip fellowships really quickly. If something happens or we don't like what's going on or we feel offended or they got a better band or whatever, we flip and we flop and we forget that there's a fellowship that God has assigned to us. And they're not there to meet our needs. We are there to build the kingdom together. And so there's an assignment in your fellowship. How are you doing? In living into the assignment that God's given you as a people together in this time, this place, with your history, this moment in time. This is your fellowship. It's who God's assigned you to. Can you boast about what you're doing here? And then there's another assignment God's given you, and that is your city or region. In Greek, the word is polis, from which we get the word politics, which we all snicker when we hear that because politics has become a bad word, right? But the polis, the politic, was the care of the city. People who care about the city. Which is why Paul routinely, in an age of the persecution of the church, called the church to pray for government. Not criticize. Not complain. But pray that God would get hold of the politics of the city. And so your city, your region, is a place assigned to you by God. Now that becomes individual and that becomes corporate as a fellowship. You have something to do. I read that your mission statement is something about focused on the North End. Is that right? Okay, so you have identified, your congregation has identified something about a particular assigned place. Make this part of St. Catherine's glorious for the King. And so what does that look like for you individually? Okay, well, some of you will have the gifts and the talent and the patience and perseverance to get involved in politics. God bless you. Others of you will figure out how to do this in a parent-teacher way, in a school council, in a neighborhood committee, in some way. Make your city a place of the boasting of the King. And then there's another assignment God's given to us, and that is actually our nation or people, our ethnos, as the Greeks would say, which is you've been placed within a nation in a particular time in history, and we just happen to be one of the most blessed peoples in the history of the world. Like, seriously, in the history of the world, there are few people who have lived as good as we have. So that comes with an assigned responsibility for the King. That we would see our nation through the eyes of the King and serve and live our way into a national way of contributing to this assignment God has given to us. And by the way, this is also why the church historically has always been willing to suffer at the hands of its own state. Because it knows that sometimes in order to suffer at the hands of the state is to do the best thing for the state. Because it witnesses to the inbreaking kingdom of God by its identification with Christ and his kingdom while loving the nation that maybe hates them. And then there is an assignment of the world. Now, we're MB Mission. Robin and I represent MB Mission. It's the global, national, and with C2C joining MB Mission most recently, it's really a national mission agency of the Mennonite Brethren churches. So we're concerned about the world all the time. This is what we talk about. You know, there's a banner back there with a picture of people from Burundi. There's books with people who are serving all over the world. And some of you may be called to that. But I know this. Everyone, God has placed a seed of somewhere else in them. There's a country you've cared about, a people group you've prayed for. There's news that you follow from somewhere that you have interest in. Maybe it's just because you love following Trump's tweets. I don't know. But actually, how has that led you to pray for our brothers and sisters to the south? What is the seed assignment in you somewhere else in the world that God has actually planted in you? I think this is one of the mysteries and miracles of the body of Christ. Because when I look at a group of people like this, how many people are we? 150-ish or so? Maybe 200? When we look at a group of people like this, I would venture to guess that if we would start popping up the places that we've thought about or cared about in the last couple weeks that are not here in our backyard, we would have a good portion of the world represented. Now, why would God plant that in you unless it's an assignment that you can participate in? And then you figure out what that looks like. Now, if you think about this, this little diagram, you begin to realize that this is actually how God's plan is meant to be lived through the church, because in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul says to the Ephesian church that the church exists that the manifold wisdom of God might be displayed to the principalities and powers, and we know that it's God's will that the glory of God should fill the universe, right? How is that going to happen? Unless a few people, even a small group of people like us, care most deeply about the area of influence God has assigned to us and live the kingdom of God to the full extent that we can in the little sphere, the little plot of ground, the little space he's given. And the more disciples of Jesus who live this way, the more the glory of God fills the universe and the manifold wisdom of God is revealed through the church to the principalities and powers who are out there trying to lead this world into more and deeper darkness and the pit of hell. Now, let me just quickly make this very practical out of what Paul has said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So if you look back in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 to 5, Paul has said this, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have the divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ." What's Paul saying? It's really quite interesting. The Corinthians are challenging Paul's authority as an apostolic leader. He's saying, they're saying, you're not very impressive. There's guys with better TV shows than you. There's, you know, all this stuff that they're saying about Paul to question his leadership. And he says, hold on. Remember, the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds. Now, what is he really saying here? He's saying that the church, in every sphere of influence that God has assigned, is doing spiritual battle. When we sang these ancient songs of the church this morning, we were declaring something and doing spiritual battle. We weren't living in a past memory. We were in the present, doing spiritual battle and declaring spiritual truth as a community, countering the messages of culture that would say the complete opposite. Did you catch any of that? That's what we were doing. So think about this. In what ways is your life unleashing the divine power to destroy strongholds in every one of those spheres of influence that God has assigned to you? How might that transform your praying? How might that transform how you see other people as made in the image of God and needing to be loved, not criticized and beaten down? What might that mean in the way of which you approach your work? And Paul's saying every argument is taken captive to Christ. This is a spiritual battle he's doing. And it's a battle to destroy strongholds. The language in the Greek is very strong. It's a demolition project. It's to actually put the dynamite to something that has been raised up and erected that is contrary to God, and it's to put the dynamite in the place so it crumbles, that the glory of God may be revealed. This is our task, to destroy these strongholds. Church. Church! This is our task. And then he says in verse 8, he says, For even if I boast a little too much of our authority, which the Lord gave for building you up and not for destroying you. Now, do you see the contrast? In relation to the spiritual strongholds, we are destroying. We are doing demolition work. But in relation to human beings, we are what? We're building up. Now, unfortunately, sometimes we reverse these. And we participate in the principalities and powers, and we destroy people. In our kingdom work and what's assigned to us, we reverse these, and we destroy the principalities and powers that bind people, and we look at people to build them up. Paul says, I use my authority. I'm not using my authority that God has given me in the areas that he has assigned to me. I'm not using my authority for my own needs. I'm using my authority to build you up. This is our task. It's actually the building of family. It's the building of family, the kingdom of God. For those who know they got nobody, he has given us the right to be called the children of God. There's nothing more building than to start calling somebody a brother or a sister, a son or a daughter of the King. Build them up. And then, in verses 15 and 16, and Trish read this for us earlier, there's this desire for an expansion to regions beyond. So he's saying that my hope among you Corinthians is that as you kind of get this and wake up, what it will allow is once you've figured out your assignment and the way you're supposed to live, then we will be able to go beyond. And you'll actually become those who are pushing us beyond. You will actually push the church further beyond ourselves because we realize our place, and suddenly we realize that there are places in the world that need this, and so go. And who are the ones? The twos, the threes, the family, the single, the... Who are the ones that can be pushed beyond to start a new place? And so we are working for the maturity of the body of Christ in the hopes of being sent beyond so that his glory may fill the universe. Do you get it? For the glory of God and the celebration of the kingdom come. This is our task. This is who you are as a disciple of Jesus. This, missionaries, is your call. This little picture, this last one that you'll see here, that's a shadow of me and my little girl. Her name's Abigail. But we're standing on a fence, and I thought this is a great picture because it was a picture of me just spending time with her to build her up. But we were looking to somewhere else, to a region beyond. So, where's this little sphere of influence that God has assigned to you? Is it as simple as standing on a fence with somebody? And then where are you looking to? And what does that require of you in the mission geography of your soul? Would you open your heart to the King of Kings who has an assignment for you? And at the beginning of this year, hold your hands open and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Like really, Lord, send me tomorrow to that job. Lord, send me into that conversation with my spouse. Lord, send me into that coffee shop with those guys. Lord, send me to Burundi. Lord, send me. Lord, King of the universe, we worship you and we give you praise. We surrender ourselves before you today, Lord, and we say you have a plan. It doesn't matter how old or how young we are. There is an assignment given to us at a particular time. You desire to make us more like Jesus. And so, Father, from the very beginning, we started this place this morning. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. If we've never surrendered our lives to you, I pray that we would this morning. The Jesus who died and rose again calls me to follow him. And I choose, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And the King of the universe has an assignment for us. And so, God, we receive it. Some of us may have been fighting the assignment because we don't want to go to that workplace. We've been trying to find our way out of it, and you've not let us out of it. Lord, shift our hearts and our minds to surrender and to submit to your goodness, your sovereignty, your faithfulness, and the power of the Spirit to transform us that we may truly be for the praise of your glory, which is intended to reach to the uttermost parts of the universe. And for some reason, Lord, you've chosen people like us to join your parade, even when we feel like we shouldn't be there. Lord, here we are. Send us. Through Christ, the risen Lord, and all God's people said,
listening. For any questions about the message or to contact any of our pastors, please visit scottstreetchurch.ca.